chapter 17, and we're really going to be looking at one verse this morning, verse 26. And it's going to be just a little while before we get there, so keep your finger there. But Acts chapter 17, and we're going to look at verse 26. And before we do that, let me just echo a couple of things that Luke has already shared with you. First of all, tonight at 6 o'clock is a very, very important event in the life of our church. We'll be ordaining Greg Block into the deacon ministry. And folks, let me just encourage you, for him and his family and for this church, you need to be here. You need to be a part of that service. And in fact, it's important enough. I've asked our youth and our children to cancel what they had planned and to have everybody in here, because I think it's been several years since we've had an ordination. And it's good to see one of our young men that has come up and ready to be ordained and to take a place of service in the church. And it's important that we support that as his church family. So let me highly, highly encourage you to be back here at 6 o'clock tonight for the ordination of Greg Block. It's a very special time in his life, and we need to share that as a family. And then all ordained men, all of our ordained men at 4:30 in the room where we normally have our deacons meeting, we will be having our ordination council. So let me encourage all of our ordained men to be here at 4:30. Again, just think back to when you were ordained and how important that was to you. You be here to support Brother Greg and participate in that ordination council. I'm going to ask our deacons tonight to wear coat and ties. I think this is a very important event, and we need to show that in our appearance. I can't make you do that. I'm just going to ask you to do that as your pastor. But 4:30 this afternoon is the ordination council, and then 6 o'clock tonight is a very special time in the life of our church as we are able to participate and witness in the ordination of Greg Block. Next Sunday. We've been waiting for it. We've been looking for it. We've been getting ready to write a big check for it. But next Sunday, we're going to be out of the sanctuary. In fact, probably for the next two Sundays, we will be out of the sanctuary as the installation of our air conditioning system is put in place. Can I just hear a hearty amen? I tell you what, I'm so excited about that, and my luck is we'll have a cold front come through right after we get it installed. But I was looking on the weather, and for at least the next 2 weeks, it's going to be hot, so I think we're going to be okay. But we have a plan for Sunday school classes, and we'll be communicating that to you. But we're going to be doing all of our services Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and we'll keep with the two Sunday morning services next week and the week after. But we'll be doing all of our services in the fellowship hall. And so we'll make that transition beginning next week. We're going to have to be displaced, have to be a little out of service for just a couple of weeks. But folks, I'm going to tell you, it'll all be worth it in the end. It may even be we only have to be out 1 week, but we're planning for two. And it may even be that we have to be out 3 weeks. But again, we're planning for two. So be patient with us as we go through this process. We won't Ray and Sons to have the time that they need to complete the installation and do everything that they need to do. So just be aware of that. We'll continue to communicate that through the bulletin, newsletter, flock notes, and make sure everybody's aware. But all of our services beginning next Sunday morning will be in the fellowship hall. This morning, I tell you what, let's just begin with a word of prayer. Father God, as I heard our young people sing about what a big, powerful, loving God that you are, and as I think about all the things that have been going through my mind, and I think about where you would have us go and the things that you would have us do as a church as we begin to reach our community and to spread out to the outermost parts of the world. When I am fearful, when I'm not sure, when I'm thinking, how in the world can we do this? I'm reminded that you're a big God and that you have all the resources that we need. And Lord, when you call us to a task, you'll never call us to something that you've not equipped us with fully to accomplish and complete in your name. So, Father God, as we begin talking this morning about reaching our community with the gospel, I pray that every heart here, every heart in our church will carry the same passion as we reach out into our community. Lord Jesus, we love you. We ask your blessings on this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to spend just a little bit of time today really as an introduction to the next 3 weeks. And I'll get into the format of that in just a little bit. But today I want to just kind of share where we are and where we're headed and kind of the plan to get there. And in order to do that, I need to review just a little bit. And you're going to go, well, wait a minute, I've heard this before. Listen, one of the things that's my responsibility is to continuously over and over and over again to share with you those areas that we must focus on as a congregation. And the three focus areas, you're familiar with them by now, I hope. But first of all is facilities. We're to be facilities focused. God has blessed us, and we must upkeep this. What we just talked about, the fact that we're going to have to be out of the sanctuary for a couple of weeks in order for us to install our air conditioning system. That's part of that facilities focus. As we look down the road, I'm going to be bringing to the congregation for your approval shortly a team, a committee, whatever you want to call them, that are going to begin to look at our future needs. Where do we need to go as a church when we look at our facilities? We need to go back and look at what we voted on 10 years ago and see if that's still viable. We need to look at our present facilities, and we need to think in terms of our future facilities. But we need to begin that process. So that is the facilities focus that I'm talking about. But secondly, and I think even more important, because souls are always more important than facilities, facilities are just a tool for us to do what God has us to do, and that's children's focus. Children's focus. You know, I love to go down to the nursery area. Now, when they're crying, I think, thank you, Lord, that I'm through that. They're not mine anymore. But I love to see those children, and I love to see our adults working with the children and the children upstairs. And I want you to know we are blessed with some talented men and women who love these children and who work with these children. They are children focused. That's their calling. That's their passion. I recently talked with Naomi and our children's director, and we've talked about the future and the things that they're planning, and I want you to know that we are beginning to, not that we never have focused on our children, but we're putting even more of an emphasis on the importance of our children's ministry for us to grow and to reach our community with the gospel. And then the last one, and this is the one that we're really going to be focusing on over the next 3 to 4 weeks, and again, that's just the starting place. That's the starting gun going off. I hope. That's my prayer. But that's outward focused. Outward focused. When you have a church that is old as us, and I'm not talking about the age of the members, I'm talking about 150-plus-year-old First Baptist Church in small town South Georgia, it's easy to begin over the years more and more and more and more to become inward focused. That's also a danger for Sunday school classes. So one of the things that we must do is be very conscious of that and very intentional about reaching outside of the walls of this church. I think Brother Bob said it well during revival. He said, listen, lost people for the most part don't come to revivals anymore. There was a time in our society, just because it was culturally the norm, it was culturally accepted, that lost people would come to revivals. And in times you would see many walk the aisle. But folks, that's changed. That's different. Can I just tell you something? And I believe this with all my heart. God never intended for us to build a building, put up a sign and say, y'all come. What he did say is, y'all go. Go to where they are. Carry the gospel to where they are. And we're going to look at those verses in just a minute. So when we think about outward focus, where, what, and how. Where, what, and how. The three key scriptures, I imagine all of you can at least paraphrase, if not quote these in your favorite a scripture verse. Of course, Matthew 28, the Great Commission. It really is our marching orders as Christians, as a church. It's what we're to be doing until the Lord Jesus either returns or calls us home. But I was talking with Tanya, our church secretary. We jokingly refer to Tanya as the grammar Nazi. She knows her grammar, and she's not and she's got her work cut out with me when I hand her an article, and she'll go through it. Reminds me of school. She gets that red pen out, and she starts circling and X-ing and saying, "Now, Brother Keith, what you really need to say is." So I went to Tanya. She's very good at this. I said, "Tanya, am I missing it here?" I said, "But when I look at the Great Commission and I look at these four words, isn't that what I remember is action verbs? An action verb is a verb that something is being required or something is being called for." And then those four words were go. We're to go, not stay. Now, we need to invite people to church, and we need to have revivals, and invite friends and lost folks to the revivals. But as Brother Bob's already shared with us, that our world has changed, our societies has changed, and it's even more important that we go. But then it says, what are we to do when we go? We're to make disciples. Again, it's action for us. We're to make disciples. We're to share the gospel. We're to love on them and to care for them. And when the opportunity comes, we're to tell them about Jesus. And then afterwards it says, talks about baptizing and teaching them to understand and to live out the life that God has called us to in his word. Action verbs. And then Matthew 22, the great commandment. We spent quite a bit of time on this when we talked about the art of neighboring, so I won't belabor it. But you remember what it says there? We're to love God. How we love God? With everything in our being. All of us, all in, we're to love God. And then remember the second part, and this is where we really focused on the art of neighboring, is we're to love our neighbor. And remember the last little part of that? We often forget that. We're to love our neighbor as ourselves. I don't know about you, but I love me. And I know how I want to be loved. And Jesus said, hey, in turn, that's how I want you to love your neighbors. And with the art of neighboring, we specifically looked at our literal neighbors. Well, we're getting ready to broaden that horizon just a little bit as we think about Berrien County and our community. And then Acts 1:8, which is written above the doorway there, really one of the most important verses. I really believe these three verses alone are all the information that we need to understand our responsibility as individual believers and as a body of believers called First Baptist Church, Nashville, Georgia. But it says, but you will receive power. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest parts of the earth. Three words there, or phrases. First of all, power. Can I just be honest with you? Maybe you heard this in my prayer. When I think about what I'm going to challenge you to do and me to do and us to do, I can get a little fearful. I'm thinking, Lord, how in the world are we going to do this? And then I read Acts 1:8 and it says, well, you're going to receive power. In other words, the power of the church comes from where? Does it come from me, your pastor? No. Does it come from our deacons? No. It comes from the Holy Spirit. How are we going to reach our community? It's impossible. In the flesh, yes, but with the Spirit of God, no. We can do this. Why? Because God has mandated it and He has equipped us with everything that we need to reach our community. And then He talks about, you shall be my witnesses. Who's my? Well, it's Jesus. We're going to be Jesus's witnesses. I love what Warren Wiersbe says. Witness is a key word in the book of Acts and is used 29 times as either a verb or a noun. A witness is somebody who tells what he has seen and heard. Every Christian can bear faithful witness to the Savior. We do that in many ways. We do that by sharing the gospel. We do that by living a life that honors and pleases God. And then finally, it says, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the remotest or the uttermost parts or part of the world. It's not a either or. It's an all-inclusive. We're to be outward focused in each of those four areas. We think oftentimes when we talk about missions, we think about across the oceans. And yes, that is a part of missions. And I look forward to developing our relationship with the blocks in Hungary and the relationship that we already have established in Liberia and even others as God brings those opportunities across our path. And we're to be across the oceans and we're to be across our nation. North America is lost and going to hell. Valdosta Baptist Association has built a partnership with a church planter in Boston, not Boston, Georgia, but Boston, Massachusetts. And they've been pouring in mission teams and money to help establish churches in some of the most spiritually dark places in our country. But also across our state. You're thinking, well, we're in South Georgia. It's the Bible Belt. Do we really need churches? We need churches. Not necessarily white English-speaking churches, but we need churches. In areas, you look inside the 285 loop in Atlanta. Almost 200 different languages are spoken inside that little bitty area that's packed with people. But then he talks about Jerusalem. I believe that Jerusalem is listed first for a reason. It's our starting place. It's our starting place. We're to be in all of these areas, but we got to get started somewhere. And folks, Jerusalem is the starting place. Now, the question that obviously comes to mind, where is our Jerusalem? Where is our Jerusalem? And I'm not asking rhetorically, where is our Jerusalem? Somebody tell me. Here, Berrien County. If you don't live in Berrien County, you must leave now. I'm sorry, you can't participate. No, if you live outside of Berrien County, guess what? You have your Jerusalem. Our Jerusalem, our starting place is Berrien County. Our church is to be outward focused in all these areas, but we start right here in Berrien County. And can I just say, I think we have not necessarily intentionally, but we have neglected that. We're not doing that very well. That breaks my heart. And so I really believe the Lord has led me and led others in this church for us to do something about it. All right, Acts chapter 17, verse 26. Acts 17, verse 26. Now, have to be very careful when you take one verse out of a passage that we don't take that out of context. So I'm going to lay a little bit of context after I read it. But Acts 17, verse 26, he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation. Let's talk a little bit about context. Paul was witnessing to the Greek philosophers in Athens. And I won't go into all the tales because that's not the purpose of the sermon today. But if you remember, there was a statue to an unknown god. The Greeks had a multitude of gods. And in fact, they were so afraid of leaving one out that they had a statue to an unknown god. Maybe there was a deity they haven't even heard about yet. And they certainly didn't want to make him mad and have the retribution that he might pour down on them. So they had this statue, and so Paul came in, and he began to share with them about this person, Jesus Christ, and the resurrection. As we talked about last Wednesday night, when we were talking about witnessing, there were basically two groups of people. First of all, there was a group of people who jeered at him and called him a fool and a crazy person and other things, and they had nothing to do with him. But there was another group who said, basically, we don't know who this Jesus and this resurrection that you talk about, but we want to know more. Let's continue our discussion. Folks, there are always going to be folks who say, that's it, I don't want to hear any more. But there's always going to be those that are willing to continue the discussion. They may not drop down on their knees that night and profess faith in Christ. But our desire, my desire, is to continue the discussion, the gospel discussion, with those who have questions. You see, I believe in divine appointments, how God will bring those lost across the path of those who have the answer. He mentioned three things there. First of all, there was one man. In other words, all men are equal in God's sight, which, by the way, in the Greeks' eyes, that's heresy, because in the Greeks, they were smarter than everybody. They were better than everybody. Everybody else was, they were up here. Everybody else was down here. They're geniuses. Everybody else are a bunch of idiots. So Paul said, hey, guess what? All of us come from one man, and we're equal in God's sight, since all came from one man, and that one man is Adam. And you know that story. And then he says, they are determined in their appointed times. Listen to what John MacArthur says. God sovereignly controls the rise and fall of nations and empires. Let me tell you why I don't get real upset about elections. Scripture tells us God's the one that puts who he wants in those offices. Brother Keith, you mean he would put so-and-so that believes this in the presidency or the governor? Yes. Do I understand it? No. But that's what Scripture teaches us. And then he says, he, God, has determined their appointed times. And as you look at the different translations, they use a little bit different words. But again, God sovereignly controls the rise and fall of nations and empires. And then he talks about the boundaries of their habitation. God is responsible for establishing nations as to their racial identity and their specific geographical locations and determining the extent of their conquest. Okay, what does that mean for us? That's great about nations and empires and all that stuff. But what does that mean about us? We go back to a question that we asked when we began the Art of Neighboring. What if God placed you where you live, where you work, where you learn, where you play? Hang on with me now. What if God placed you there for a reason? By the way, He did. He did. That's what that verse is talking about. You think you were born in Nashville, Georgia, just because your mom and dad lived here and that's where they had a baby. Or maybe your job brought you here, or whatever the extenuation is that brought you to Nashville, Georgia, Berrien County, or wherever you live. Folks, I got news for you. It's much bigger than that. God has a plan for our lives, and He has planted us somewhere. Now, He may move us from time to time, but right now He has planted you here for a very specific reason, and that's where we're headed. You see, we've got to lay the foundation. We need to understand that we're not here by chance. We're not even here by choice. We are here by God's divine appointment to accomplish a mission. To accomplish a mission. You see, we can fulfill the Great Commission and the Great Commandment right here in our own Jerusalem. We don't have to go across the oceans. We don't have to necessarily go to Boston, Massachusetts or Atlanta, Georgia. We can start right here. Now, here's the big question. What does that mean for us today? As First Baptist Church, Nashville, Georgia, what does that mean for us today? What I want to introduce to you this morning is what I'm calling the Love Berrien County Initiative. The Love Berrien County, Love BC, the Love Berrien County Initiative. Greg Lloyd, I've been working with him and Frank Sutton, and Greg came up with this tagline. I thought it was beautiful. Loving Berrien County, where we live, learn, work, and play through prayer, care, share lifestyle. Through a prayer, care, share lifestyle. Well, what does that mean? What does it mean to say that we're going to love Berrien County? Well, in the biblical sense, it means being involved, having an impact, being a part of. And then how do we do that? Well, where do you live? Remember, we've already talked about the art of neighboring. We've already talked about how where we live and the neighbors that surround us, God has given us a direct command to love them as we love ourselves. And then He talks about where we learn. We have students, whether you're little or middle or older. Where you learn is a place where you can be a witness for Him. And then where we work. You see, each of us has different sphere of influences. Yours are probably different than mine. I'll probably never be able to enter yours. So you have a sphere of influence where you work, where you live, where you learn, even where we play. Whether it's the ball fields or the golf courses or whatever, we have a sphere of influence. And then the how. Well, that's what I want to introduce to you in just the next couple of minutes. We're almost finished. But the how is through prayer, care, share. Through a prayer, care, share lifestyle. This is not a one-off event. What my prayer is that God will change our DNA to the point where this becomes how we think and how we live. A prayer, care, share lifestyle. Well, what exactly is that? Well, again, we're going to take the next 3 weeks to look at each one of these. So today, very briefly, I'm going to introduce those to you. First of all, prayer. Everything must start with prayer and be permeated with prayer. If we're going to do something for God and we're going to be successful in that, successful as God defines it, then we must start with prayer. One person put it this way, prayer is discovering our mission. By the way, God's already working behind the scenes. Did you realize that? God's not going to have to, whoa, wait a minute, they're getting serious at First Baptist. I'm going to have to get moving. Folks, he's already been moving. We saw that when we did the Art of Neighboring. I remember Henry Blackaby, an experience of God. He made it so simple, but yet so profound. Find out where God's working and then jump in. Join him. Folks, that's what we're going to be doing as a church. We're going to find out where God is working in our community, and we're going to jump in. We're going to join him. And then the care. The best way to connect to people is to care deeply about them. We do that by listening, building relationships. We also do that by, this is true, you're not going to believe this. I didn't even come up with this. We do this by eating. Folks, there is something about when we break bread with somebody, that we share a meal with somebody. Well, you know, in the Art of Neighboring, that was kind of our goal, is to get to the point where we could invite our neighbors over for a meal or do a block party or do something like that, because we just get to know people at a different level. I'm signing up for that one right now. And then another way we care is, and this is probably where the listening and the eating, the building of the relationships is leading us, it naturally leads us into serving. Who's the greatest model of all for service? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He served us all the way to the cross. And then share. The most loving thing that we can do is to point those that we care about to the one who loves them most. Now, I know when we start talking about evangelism and witnessing, that scares some of y'all absolutely to death. Don't be. Because when you build relationships with somebody and it naturally comes up in the conversation, man, it's like butter and bread with hot butter. Just easy. Well, here's what we're going to be doing the next 3 weeks. Beginning next Sunday, as we focus in on prayer, we're going to have our normal Sunday morning services. Remember, we're going to be in the fellowship hall. And then for the Sunday evening service at 6 o'clock beginning next week, we're going to have a little bit different of a service. The beginning is going to be the same, but then the service, the sermon part, is going to be just a little bit different. And I'm going to encourage you to be there for that. I think you're going to be pleasantly surprised. But I'm not going to give you all the details this morning, just a little bit of a tease there. But then we're going to have the Sunday morning sermons, and then the Sunday evening we're going to meet together in the fellowship hall and do our thing there. And then in the future we're going to do some things to help you discover your spiritual gifts. You need to know that as a believer. Every believer has at least one, probably more, spiritual gifts. Some of you know what those are. Some of you don't. If you don't, you need to know. But also, we need to understand what our talents are. That's different than spiritual gifts. And then also, here's one we don't talk about enough, our interest. Where's God? Where's the passions of your heart? Some it's children. Some it's sports. But we all have these natural area of interest, and what a perfect place for us to love Berrien County as we go to those natural places of passions. And then we're going to do some work in each of the areas of prayer, care, share. And our goal, and we don't have all the answers yet, but our goal is to begin to build opportunities to prayer, care, and share in our community. It's that simple. Some of you have ideas that I'll never think of. That's why we need to hear those ideas. Some of you have areas of influence that I'll never get into. That's why we need to have people willing to serve in those areas. I shared with you a few weeks ago, Greg Lloyd and I met with our local mayor. And you know, I was very surprised coming out of that conversation, because basically all I wanted to do is say, listen, how can we better serve our community? He said, I tell you, one of the best things you can do, show up the city council meetings. Have somebody be the local person for the church to be able to go to the committee meeting and just know what's going on in our community. Now, I'm not a very political kind of guy, savvy guy. But there's some of you in here, man, y'all eat that stuff for breakfast. That'd be a perfect place for y'all. All right, I'm closing now. We're done. I want people in our town, when they think about First Baptist Church Nashville, I want people in our town, when they think about us, to say we are a loving church, we're a caring church, and we're a church that reaches in all areas of our community. All areas of our community. I don't think we're there right now. But by God's grace and our willingness, I believe we can become that kind of church. Little steps at a time. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, as you have led my heart and others in this church, as we think about reaching Berrien County with the gospel, as we think about prayer, care, and share, and as we think about the opportunities that you're already working in, Lord, help us to discover those opportunities. And Lord, give us a heart. Lord, give us a heart for our community. Because, Lord, if we don't have that, then we're missing one of the key ingredients. Lord, this morning during this time of invitation, I pray that you'll move on the hearts of those here. And Lord, anything that needs to be taken care of, I pray that today, as the Spirit moves, we'll all be obedient to that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.